We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay. Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Our two title contenders in Denver sports, the Nuggets and the Avalanche, are hopefully getting stars back this weekend. And I'll ask the correct question, who is more essential between the two to their team's success? Val Nichushkin to the Colorado Avalanche or Jamal Murray to the Denver Nuggets? I also want to throw this out to our listeners because this could be a good opportunity to jump in the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We will read some texts here, and we have some more follow-up questions relating to this matter as well. Phil, we know they're both essential to their team's success. That's why we're asking the question.
I was going to say, why you got to do it to us, Zach? Like, this whore. You need them both. If we're going to win, we need them both. But for this segment and for what we're trying to get done, when it comes down to Val Nichushkin or Jamal Murray,
I know, it's almost impossible to answer, right?
Because because we've seen it.
We've seen it with both. We've seen the Denver Nuggets go two postseasons without Jamal Murray, and it does not look good. Now, granted, the team has gotten better around Jokic.
Yeah.
I mean, that was once upon a time a couple of years ago, and it's hard to believe. But Nikola Jokic was in the NBA playoffs playing alongside Will Barton, Facu Campazzo. I mean, Phil, these guys aren't in the NBA anymore, and they're trying to win. Now, the team, like I said, has gotten better, but still, there was first and second-round exits without Jamal. And actually, I don't know, was there ever a first-round exit without Jamal? I honestly forget. I know they lost to the Warriors, but I think that was the second round. Anyway, doesn't even matter. They're not going anywhere without Jamal.
No.
But we've also seen the Avalanche fail to get out of the first stinking round without Val Nichushkin.
Oh, Val decided to fled the scene during a playoff game. I'm still baffled.
I know.
I'm trying to think, would I ever do that? I guess if my life's on the line, I'm out of here.
I mean, it was a rare circumstance there with Val that hopefully we never experience again because it's already happened a second time in some way, shape, or form since then.
We tend to forget that.
I know.
Because he plays so well, and it's just like, you know what, he's back.
Yeah.
We're happy just for it.
Yeah.
It's like, he's kind of inconsistent. All it takes is a step back.
Totally.
And now we're sitting here in a situation where we were last year.
Yes.
But with that being said, Zach, I would have went with the Colorado Avalanche if they didn't go and stack up on depth like Casey Mittelstadt, Sean Walker. They make me feel a lot safer, a lot more at home. With the Denver Nuggets, Zach, we've seen that bench yesterday. Did you see the bench yesterday?
It was so bad, Phil. It was awful. It was inept. It was... holy smokes, they literally didn't score a point in the first half.
And it's one game. That's right. It's one game. You said it. You're like, you know what? One win, when it's the playoff start, you don't think it's going to be as big of a factor as we're putting on right now.
I don't. And we talked about that yesterday.
But what I've seen with my own eyes, okay, I feel like Jamal Murray is more important to the Denver Nuggets and him being healthy and not missing games than Val Nichushkin is, just because of the depth that the Colorado Avalanche got before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I like it. And honestly, I think that's the right answer. Now, I think that we can disagree, and I'll be anxious to see or hear on the RamosLaw.com text line in a few minutes where people fall on this, but for me, I think you gave the right answer because Jamal Murray is the second best player that this organization has.
Yeah.
Val Nichushkin is amazing. Val Nichushkin might be, I'd say, one of the 20 best players in the world. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
But he's not the second best player on the team.
Yeah.
And that's what type of luxury that the Avs have, is that, you know, the second best player on this team on any given night, it could be a different person. It could be Mikko Rantanen. It could be Cale Makar. Last night, you could say it was Jonathan Drouin.
Yes.
I mean, just by the sheer setup of the sport, where you literally platoon substitutions every 90 seconds, and a bunch of guys play, and your best player might play 25 minutes of the 60, yeah. And that's just the setup of the sport. With basketball, that ball is in Jamal Murray's hands every other possession that they play. And I just think because of that, it's Jamal.
And their bench gets stronger when Jamal's there. Because now when Jamal's there, you can knock somebody like Christian Brown back to the bench.
Yes.
Hey, Peyton Watson. And even then, you may have Jamal Murray be with the bench.
Correct.
So it just makes things a little bit better and easier when Jamal is there. We all know that. Val, of course, we can't win a cup without Val. We know that.
Yep.
But I feel more comfortable if I had to pick between Val or Jamal. I'm going to take Val. Val not being there, Colorado Avalanche will be fine. Jamal not being there.
Yeah. How fine, though? Can here's a question I want to ask. Do you think the Colorado Avalanche could appear in the Stanley Cup Finals without Val? Forget winning it. Just getting through the Western Conference and going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Do you think that is possible without Val Nichushkin?
No, I do not. I do not think it's possible to go without Val. Unless we had someone like Igor on our team being our goalie.
There you go.
We don't have a goalie that can steal a series.
Yep.
Therefore, Val needs to be there at all times because of how dominant he is, his presence, the depth we need from him. When you have Casey Milstack, everybody has to move up, right?
Everybody has to do something different.
And you know, the depth pieces have to put on more of a show when you don't have Val Nichushkin sitting right in front of you.
Yep. Yeah, he makes the team less top-heavy, that is for sure. And he's just so effective. I mean, just in general, in front, on the power play. Val is, I mean, he's Nuke. I mean, he's a locomotive out there. He looks, and being, you know.
What's his nickname? What's his nickname? I wonder what his nickname back in Russia is.
Back in Russia? I don't know if we want to know what his nickname in Russia is.
Machine Gun Val.
Well, he has posted himself with an AK-47 before. With no shirt on, standing in the rain outside his truck. That's Val. That's our Val.
Standing there, you talking about a guy that can dance in the rain. It's Val.
Yes. So I agree with you. I do not think the Avalanche can go to a Stanley Cup, let alone win, without Val Nichushkin. I just don't. He's that essential, and it's such a team sport. You need that depth. And he's so much more than depth. He's a star.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's right, he is a star. You could so fairly argue, man, you go back and watch that Cup run, you could fairly argue that no one, and The Rock means no one, was more valuable on that Cup run than Valeri Nichushkin. So, by the way, you going to watch WrestleMania this weekend?
I am.
Yeah?
You know what, though? I am not into the wrestling like I used to be, man. And I know you guys are, so I'm going to have to kind of...
No.
We kind of tell everybody this.
No.
Tell me.
I don't watch current wrestling. Okay. I have not watched an episode of Monday Night Raw in over a decade.
Okay.
I mean, but... I jump on board. Hey, it's kind of like opening day.
Yeah.
You don't have to care about the rocket, nothing. Opening day, you jump on board. I hang in the wings and hang out in the 1980s and 1990s and late night. And then a couple times a year.
We have glory days.
Royal Rumble, I'm back.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, I'm back.
Well, the question is this. Is your son going to be able to watch it with you?
He can't, no. Okay. My wife will not allow it yet.
Yeah, my wife either. I get in trouble. I'll be on the couch for 3 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you this. I did let him watch like 30 seconds of it last year. And I'm not kidding. The next day,
he was doing
things. They said he attacked someone at preschool. And I'm not, I wish I was joking, but I'm not.
Oh.
And I knew about like 20.
619
to, I knew about 20 to 25 seconds into the clip we were watching. I'm like, this isn't good. My wife's going to speak up in 3, 2, 1. And there it happened. And there he attacked someone at preschool.
See, why was the opposite? We let him watch King Kong. And I didn't think of nothing of it. And then he was by himself, right? Me and my wife were talking by himself. All of a sudden, he starts crying because he's used to King Kong being nice. And King Kong bit something's head off or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I got in trouble for almost a month for letting him watch King Kong. He asked every single day, why did King Kong do that?
That is unbelievable, but actually so believable. We're getting a lot of Jamal Murray on the RamosLaw.com text line. Ryan in Denver, it says, Zach, that's a dumb question. It's Murray all day long. Someone else says it's Murray. What he brings to not only the Nuggets but to Jokic is invaluable. That is from Vince. I agree. You get less of Nikola Jokic. And that's an important distinction. It's not just about what Jamal brings to the table, but Jokic becomes the best version of his self when Jamal's out there.
Yeah.
Peanut butter needs some jelly. And that's what those two are together. So I'm seeing a lot of Jamal Murray right now on the RamosLaw.com text line. Okay. I have a couple other big picture questions I want to bounce off of you here, okay? What would equal success for the Denver Nuggets this season? And going into the last break, I phrased it like, are we still banner or bust?
Yeah.
With our two teams here in Denver? And I want to start with the Denver Nuggets. Would it be disappointing if the Nuggets do not win a championship? Or is there another level of success that just doesn't directly involve raising a banner?
Here in the state of Colorado, very, very disappointing. For some reason, outside of here, when you watch and you listen to these commentators, they get bullish on other teams and not Denver. And if Denver would lose, I don't think they would be as shocked as we are here in the state of Colorado.
I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, for some reason, I don't know what it is. Even when Shaq made that statement, was it Shaq was talking about
was
Jokic?
He was saying about SGA should be the MVP.
Like, come on, why are we talking about this right now? But yeah, if the Denver Nuggets don't go to a championship this year.
I didn't say go to a championship. I said win it.
Win it. Oh, if they don't win it, I don't think it's going to be a bust.
Okay.
Because I feel like they have the team to go back again.
So like beyond this year.
Yeah, beyond this year.
Yeah.
This is what it's about. Because guess what, Zach? We win it. What is everybody going to be saying? What is it? Three-peat?
Yeah, we'd be talking three-peat, which is
right?
Hysterical. Yes.
So
yes.
If we get there, but we lose, why does it make it any different? Why, like, yeah, we didn't get the two-peat, right? But we were there.
You didn't get the repeat, if you won it, you'd be talking three-peat anyway.
Yes.
So if they lost it, you're saying the window. I really like that.
I think that's everybody's going to be thinking that because of who we have. We have the greatest basketball player on the planet.
Yeah,
right now.
He is kind of like a planet, right? Sometimes.
Jamal Murray, if he can stay healthy, dominant.
Yeah.
Okay. MPJ has to stay consistent. Aaron Gordon are all coming back. It all comes down to that bench.
Yeah.
And if we had someone like Bruce Brown sitting right here, we wouldn't even be talking about it right now, Zach.
No, we wouldn't. And I gave the stat yesterday, but I want to share it again because it's absolutely remarkable. I had a listener send it to me, and I went and looked it up myself, and it was right. That last year in the Nuggets postseason run, when they went 16-4 on their way to a championship, there were 17 double-digit scoring performances off the bench, and Bruce Brown had 15 of the 17.
That's wild.
Isn't that remarkable?
That's
when you take
wild.
A step back? So it's going to have to be by committee, but here's why I'm not necessarily as worried about the bench, even after watching what I watched last night, which hurt my eyes.
Okay.
Is that some of the stuff we've talked about is that they're going to be, you know, playing 8 to 12 minutes. Now, 8 to 12 minutes can lose you a game. But when we watched it last night, we're not watching a guy like Jamal Murray run with those guys.
Yeah.
And we are going to see starters, probably two of them, staggered with the bench unit.
Yep, yep.
And that combined with reduced minutes, and those two things combined with the guys knowing that there's no margin for error and the plus defenders that Peyton Watson and Christian Brown are. And I think when they're out there, that's going to be their focus, is going to be all out,
like
max
it.
Effort defensively. Stuff that we had not seen that recently from that group, all out max effort defensively.
Yeah.
And when you have guys that can score it from the starting unit that's playing alongside of three bench players, they're not going to be asked to score the ball. And the hallmarks of their game, which is defense, specifically with those two, it's just going to be better suited for the playoffs. So I wouldn't be shocked if the bench conversation is had less and less and less here over the next couple months.
And it all comes down to how healthy Jamal Murray will be in these playoffs. Because what it's looking like, Zach, even with this rest, we may not get the full healthy Jamal Murray. But do we ever? I know in football, Zach, we were never healthy. We were never healthy. There was not a day that went by in every single game I could say, oh, I feel good.
Yeah.
I never felt good.
Yeah.
But you know you got to go out there and make that money.
Yeah.
Because you got a little boy that's counting on you. So, yeah, you're going to pretend to be healthy. Is that the same in basketball?
I don't think to the same degree.
Okay.
Football is just so intense and physical. Like, the fundamentals of the sport is based on collisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, like as
but
a
think about someone like Christian McCaffrey, how many times he runs the ball.
It's
and
unbelievable.
And then the next week he goes out and he does it again.
Right.
He does it again. You mean to tell me that man ain't hurting?
Right. Right.
You mean to tell me he ain't home crying at night because he can't sleep?
Yeah, hard to get out of bed the next day. It's got to be. Now, basketball is physical. It's taxing. Yeah. It's all that stuff. But it doesn't have that sort of, to that visceral degree of physicality. But if you're not right, and he's say 90%,
yeah,
instead of 100%, I'm not worried about the 90% in the first round. I'm worried about could it go to 70% in the Western Conference Finals. Does that turn into 58% in the finals because it's just a war of attrition?
Yeah.
You want to break out and sing the song right now, don't you?
Yo, I was like, are we watching White Chicks?
Vanessa Carlton?
Are we watching? Yeah, you watch White Chicks?
I have not.
Man, Zach, it's on White Chicks. And Terry Crews is singing this song.
Right? Now, this shoe. And now and then.
See, you wanted to sing it.
Oh, this one slaps, baby. This is a slapper. This is a slapper.
If you're in the car, with your son and your daughter.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Don't put me in a box. Don't put me in a box. I'll transition from DMX to Vanessa Carlton to Jay-Z to Lisa Loeb. I mean, I'm with it.
Oh, nobody puts Zach for me.
What about the Avs? What about the same conversation? Are we – because it felt like this time last year coming off of their title heading into the playoffs, it was banner or bust.
Yeah.
It was like, man, these guys have a chance to stack parades. They don't make it out of the first round. Do you think we're still – hey, this is going to be disappointing if this group doesn't win another cup here.
See, I don't know. I think that feeling that you're talking about was last year. That feeling that everybody was talking about was when Bal was not there. And we got out of there, and in the first round we were not there. Right? We got beat. I think this year everybody's kind of bracing up because we don't know what to expect. It's going to be a hard ladder to climb up.
Oh, yeah.
When we get to the playoffs for both teams.
Yep.
It may be a little bit harder for the Colorado Avalanche.
I agree with you. I do. I agree. I think it's going to be harder for the Avs. Hockey's just, you know, I talked about this with basketball a few months ago, that the game of basketball lends itself to the most repeat champions.
Yeah.
Because if you can get the same five, maybe six guys together for a run, it just the game itself, it just lends itself to repeatability. Hockey, now we see repeat champions in hockey. We do.
Yeah.
We do. But with basketball, the history of the sport is based off dynasties. When you're talking about the Boston Celtics in the 60s, to the Celtics and Lakers in the 80s, to the Bulls in the 90s. Shoot, even when Jordan retired, it was Houston winning back-to-back. Yeah. San Antonio wins five. Golden State wins four. Shaq and Kobe won three. Kobe links up with Powell, they win two. The Miami Heat won two. It just, the history, it's over and over and over. And the core of the Nuggets is all still the same.
Yes.
With the Avs, Nazem Kadri's not here anymore. We had questions about Val. It's a changing landscape.
Yeah.
To a more extreme degree.
You know, I would feel comfortable and I would say yes 100% if there was one particular guy that was healthy that was playing for us right now. Gabe.
Oh, yes.
If Gabe was playing.
Gosh, I forget about Gabe when we have these conversations sometimes.
You think about it. If Gabe was playing, and we talked about it yesterday, he may not make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
But you need him on that ice.
Yes.
If he was healthy and he was on that ice with the rest of them, with Val.
Oh, my gosh.
Unstoppable.
Yeah, I agree.
The mindset, the physicality, that is what the Colorado Avalanche miss at sometimes is the physicality. Someone like Gabriel Landeskog brings to that ice.
Yes.
And that's something that you miss when you get in the playoffs. And you guys been telling me how ugly it gets when playoffs run around, how muck, you know, they muck everything up.
Yep.
You have those ugly goals.
Yep.
And who did you kind of rely on? Somebody like Gabriel Landeskog.
No doubt.
Lead the charge with the physicality. That's kind of what I'm like. We are not physical enough right now that I feel comfortable to say, hey, I they should win a cup.
Yeah.
I want them to, and they should,
because
it's Colorado Avalanche. We have superstars, but they got to bring a little bit of dog out.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's really well said. And I legitimately do forget about Gabe Landeskog sometimes when we have these conversations because I haven't seen him in 2 years.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think to text a friend on his birthday when I haven't seen him in years.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the Avs are missing two Bruce Browns.
Mm.
It's almost like they're missing two Bruce Browns. Where the Nuggets are missing legitimately Bruce Brown, but when you win a cup with Kadri and you win a cup with Gabe Landeskog, and both of them aren't there, and you brought this up earlier. We feel better after adding Casey Mittelstadt,
yeah.
Sean Walker, but those other guys, man, those are I'm talking about Kadri and Gabe.
Those are the core. Those are the guys.
Yes,
those are the ones that you build on the foundation. It's on their backs. That's kind of how you think of those. Nathan McKinnon.
Yes.
Okay, Gabriel Landeskog. Those are the ones that you want to go to war with.
All right. Good conversations. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line if you want to react to some of these conversations. 303-713-1043. We are live from El Patio, Denver, across the street from Coors Field. It is a fantastic environment, but there's still plenty of room for you. No joke. It's not one of these like New York City Times Square deals. You can move. Everyone is in a great mood. Everyone's got some sort of drink in their hand. They had some tacos here. They do a great job with the food here. So come say hello. We will be here until 6 o'clock. All right. As we shift gears here, Mr. Philip Lindsay, Final Four this weekend. Where will your eyes go? And then also a story within the NFL that might make you chuckle a little bit when it comes to jerseys and all that is coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
How about LeBron James' son, Bronny James, declaring for the NBA draft? What?
What are we doing, yo?
LeBron James' son, Bronny. Now, we know he suffered from a heart condition last summer that stunted into his season. But I have to say that. But this young man averaged 4 points a game. He averaged 4 points
a
game.
Was he starting?
No. I think some games he actually was and other games he wasn't. But declaring for the draft, averaging 4 points a game, do you believe? Now, he can go back to school.
Yeah.
He's also entering the transfer portal. So this is
that's crazy. See, that's what's crazy to me is, like, I wish the NFL would let you do that because some people make the wrong decision, especially back in the day where they would go out their junior year. They can't come back to school.
Right.
They're done. They don't get drafted.
Right.
They end up having 1 year of college left that they can have fun, develop, and now it's gone for them. In the NBA and in college, you know, in the college basketball world, they can have their cake and eat it too.
Yes.
That's no fair.
Yes. Well, it actually didn't used to be like that.
Okay.
Back in the day, if this was like, I think they changed it like maybe 10 years ago, but it used to be like if you declared for the draft and hired an agent, you were out, your eligibility was gone. Now they let you test the waters, the NBA does, because of cases like you just mentioned.
Mm.
There was a lot of people that, because once upon a time, jumping from high school to the NBA was like the biggest thing. Kobe, Tracy McGrady, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, they were all jumping.
Shaq, right? Shaq?
No, he went to LSU.
He did go to LSU.
So it was like, it was a... It was in vogue. It was in vogue to do that. But those are the stories that worked out. You didn't hear about the James Langs and Lenny Cooks that became no ones and couldn't go to college. The NBA said, you want to know what? Let's let them test the waters, and we'll give them feedback on if they're going to get drafted or not. That's a separate. I'm going down a rabbit hole, but I think it's a good conversation.
I don't think a lot of listeners don't know that. You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was something that they just started doing.
Yep. Within the last decade. But Bronny James declaring for the draft. Do you think he will go back to school, or he will legitimately go to the NBA and someone, do you think, will draft him?
Hands down, a million gazillion percent, he's going back to school.
Okay.
He is going back to school. I do not care if you're LeBron James' dad. All right, that's the only reason why you decided to go out in the first place. Because you didn't do anything on that court. You can't just go out there and think that you're going to just do something. It's not Peyton Watson.
No.
He needs to bring his butt back to school and stop listening to his daddy.
Well, we'll see. His dad is saying he's. I want him to be a man and make his own decisions. But it is interesting. You mentioned Peyton Watson. It's crazy to think that Bronny James, averaging 4 points a game, averaged more than Peyton Watson did at his 1 year at UCLA. Isn't that wild?
Oh, it's wild. It really is. It's wild. I don't see Bronny James and Peyton Watson. Peyton Watson still, I think, it was a better candidate.
Yes.
If we have to compare the two, you know, because you're comparing like, Peyton Watson didn't do nothing, but he got to go into the NBA. That's not the case with Bronny.
No.
I feel like they're forcing this. I feel like it's a forced thing because it's LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James wants to play with his son before he leaves.
Do you think that will ever happen?
I think that's why he's trying to do it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We shall see. He is going to transfer. If he goes back to school, he's not going back to USC. Andy Enfield was the coach at USC. He took the SMU job, which is wild that someone would not get fired from USC, leaving on their own to go coach SMU. SMU's now in the ACC.
Okay.
Who just took that job at USC? Eric Musselman, who coached at Nevada and Arkansas, brought Arkansas deep into the NCAA tournament the last couple years. He's now taking over at USC. So look for Bronny James' prediction. Bronny James transfers to a school in Pittsburgh named Duquesne.
Why is that?
Because LeBron James' teammate from high school, St. Vincent St. Mary's, Drew Joyce, has been the assistant there forever. The coach just retired, and now he's the head coach.
Okay.
And I think LeBron will look for someone who he can trust. And I bet his son will transfer from USC to Duquesne and play for Drew Joyce. I think it's Drew Joyce. Don't quote me on the name. Yeah, it is. Thank you, KJ. That was LeBron's boy and teammate. They're best friends to this day.
Okay.
And I think he'll go have his son play for his best friend just because he trusts him.
I was going to ask you, but I think that you're clear that Bronny's coming back to school.
He's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, he's coming back. And he should go back.
Yeah, he needs to.
Go enjoy college.
Why not?
Go enjoy college.
You have all the money in the world. Daddy has already done that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I know you want to be a man. Be a man and make the right decision for you, which is go back, develop yourself, have some fun, okay? The time will come. All right, everybody wants to be grown so fast. Everybody wants to go to the NFL so fast. But the thing about it is, once you're there, you are there. And when you're out of there, there is nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else to go. Unless you're Warren Sapp and you do go back to college.
Somebody give my man a place to live. He needs it. Or he's going to be in the dorms.
All right, next in the three count.
1, 2.
Final Four this weekend. On the men's side, it's number 11, NC State. What a story. Imagine being an alumni at NC State. You got your men's team in the Final Four, your women's team's in the Final Four. On the men's side, it's NC State playing number 1 Purdue, and then you have number 4 playing number 1 overall seed UConn. We will have the championship set by tomorrow at midnight. But also, Phil, on the women's side, it's NC State against South Carolina, and it's UConn, Paige Beckers and UConn against Caitlin Clark in Iowa. How bad is the women's ratings going to beat the men's?
Oh, man.
Because I'm fairly certain that's going to happen.
Oh, it's
going to
happen because of who's playing. UConn, Iowa, two superstars going at it. And it's Caitlin Clark. And everybody is watching to see what Caitlin Clark's going to do. Is she going to go for 50, 40, or are they going to lose? Because, you know, half the people want her to lose.
Yeah, definitely.
Another half want to see her succeed.
Yep.
That's going to bring so much attention. And on top of that, UConn is a really, really good basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a great matchup. All right. In other words, it may be a better matchup than some of these games that we're going to watch with the men's side.
Yeah, I think it might. I think they're
UConn's dudes, man.
They are a juggernaut. They have an average margin of winning by like 25 points a game over the last two NCAA tournaments. And they have covered the spread 10 straight games. That is almost impossible to believe. But Vegas cannot catch up with how good and dominant UConn men's basketball has been. So we'll see what it looks like. But how about UConn's got two teams in the Final Four, men and women's. NC State has two teams in the Final Four, men's and women's. And then there's old South Carolina, who's sitting there at 36-0.
Dominant!
Dawn Staley and her crew waiting.
I like that one. I like her.
Yeah, she's fun. She's fun. All right, next in the three count.
1, 2!
All right, how about this? Now, I don't know, KJ, do we have the audio? And it's not a big deal if we don't. Oh, we do. Thank you. Okay, I should have known Kamaje was on it. This is Kirk Cousins doing an interview, all right? And he's talking about him and Kyle Pitts conversing with one another about swapping jersey numbers.
Yeah.
Or at least Kyle Pitts getting his jersey, his number 8 jersey.
Yeah, number 8.
To Kirk Cousins. And this is what the conversation sounded like.
It's hilarious. Yeah, so he wanted to switch numbers anyways. So it was like a perfect fit. He's like, I want to switch numbers. You want number 8. This is perfect. I was like, great. And then the league spoke into it. They're like, well, Kyle Pitts has a lot of jerseys that are number 8 with Pitts on the back. You would have to buy every single one.
To you or to Kyle?
Both of us would have to just write the check.
How big?
It was several hundred thousand.
Oh, yeah, no, we never written a check.
So I was like, I'm good with 18. And Kyle's like, I'm good with 8. So we're going with 8 and 18.
Yeah, how funny is that? Kirk Cousins wanted that number 8 jersey. Kyle Pitts said, I want to change jerseys anyway. You can have it. And the league steps in and says, hey, fellas, you can do that, but be prepared to write a check for hundreds of thousands of dollars for every number 8 jersey with Pitts on the back that's sitting in a box.
That's wild, Zach. That's wild. You know, it sucks for someone like Kirk Cousins. You know, I got a story about a jersey when I was with Indy.
Tell me.
All right, I was in Indianapolis, and I got there late. There was a young kid, undrafted maybe, doing well, number 30, right? So I went up to him and said, hey, man, like, number 30 is me. I'm going to be nice about it, like, and ask you nicely, can I have the jersey, right? So he goes back and said, yeah, it's going to be $100,000.
$100,000?
Yeah. I said, yo, holler at me when you're sober, first of all. Second of all, I'm being nice because here in a minute, I'm just going to take the jersey now. I didn't have to. The head coach.
Frank Wright.
Wright.
Yes. I love how I know your coach's name and you don't know.
Yeah. Hey, we just call him Coach. He goes up, right? It gets out that this kid is giving me a hard time to get my jersey number. Coach goes up, I guess, has a meeting with the staff. And I was like, hey, I'm just letting everybody know Phillip's getting number 30 and I'm gonna do that. He walks downstairs, tells the young man, hey, you haven't done anything in this league. That man over there, Pro Bowls, back-to-back 1,000-yard years, that number is his. Put it in his locker.
That is hilarious.
So I have to respect him for all that.
That is hilarious. I love that story.
Yes.
Do you remember the kid who it was?
You know, he's still on the roster. I don't remember his name. He's not a bad dude.
Okay.
Not a bad dude. He Dallas.
Okay.
Something Dallas.
He should have asked you for $5,000. You might have gave it to him at the time.
I wasn't going to give him anything. I was just going to take it.
Okay.
The next day, I would have been wearing his jersey out there.
All right. It's opening day in Denver, and I've been waiting all day for this segment. I'm not going to lie. It's a little segment called Rockies or Reality. Does the following names play for the Rockies, or are they on a Bravo reality TV show? And we'll play it with Philip Lindsay coming up next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay.
All right, it's opening day. Happy opening day. We are at El Patio Denver. I want to play a little game with you, Phil.
I'm going to have to lean back. We got in these nice chairs.
We are on a couch, on a rooftop. It could be there are worse places to work today. And I want to play a little game with you called Rockies or Reality. Does he play for the Rockies, or is he on a reality TV show on Bravo? I got to give a shout out, though, before we do anything. One great listener of ours, Christy with a K,
is here
to support us. She's a dedicated listener. And also, this woman right in front of me named Stephanie is here listening to us in her ears on delay.
Oh, right?
So she's got her Beats earbuds in.
Yeah.
And she's listening to our radio show.
Shout out, Stephanie.
Shout out, Stephanie, here right in front. We're going to get a picture with her here in a couple minutes. But let's play a little game. The Rockies are, in a lot of ways, an anonymous baseball team.
Okay? Yeah.
They are.
Other than today.
Yeah, other than today, where they're playing in front of a sold-out crowd. But they are rather anonymous, okay? There's a few names that we know, Chris Bryant, Charlie Blackmon, maybe Nolan Jones, but the roster's a lot bigger than that.
That's it.
So I'm going to bounce some names off of you, and you try to guess whether this person plays for the Colorado Rockies or if he is on a Bravo reality TV show.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Jalen Becks. Does Jalen Becks play for the Rockies, or is he on reality TV?
Jalen Banks. I'm going to have to go through it here. Let me see. Jalen Banks. It kind of sounds like it could possibly be like one of those pretty boy names that played for the Colorado Rockies. But it also could sound like he's the next Bachelor. Maybe. I'm going to go with, and I'm just spitballing here, shortstop, Colorado Rockies.
Jalen Banks plays for the Rockies.
Okay.
He's a 30-year-old right-handed pitcher that came over from Tampa Bay. All right, so good start. All right.
Does he got long hair? He looks like he might have long hair.
I couldn't tell you, Phil. All right, ready? Lee Rosbach. Does Lee Rosbach play for the Rockies, or is Lee Rosbach on reality TV?
Lee Rosbach. When I think of the Rockies, when I think of baseball, you got a lot of Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans.
Sure.
You know,
very
Americans.
Popular. Yeah.
Rosbach ain't a Puerto Rican or Venezuelan name.
Oh.
Rosbach is like an offensive lineman name for like a Denver Bronco back in the day. Denver always has some kind of weird name on the offensive line. I'm going to say it's a reality TV show.
We're playing Rockies or reality. Are the following names on the Rockies, or are they on a reality TV show? Lee Rosbach is the white-haired captain on Below Deck, over 150 episodes.
Lee Rosbach.
All right, we're playing Rockies or reality. Does he play for the Rockies, or is he on a reality TV show? We get to Austin Kroll. Does Austin Kroll play for the Rockies, or is Austin Kroll from a famous reality TV show?
Austin Kroll. Look, if we got a guy on the team named Austin Kroll for the Colorado Rockies, that's probably why we're losing. I'm going to go, he's a reality TV star, like Dancing with the Stars or something like that.
Austin Kroll, Rockies or reality? Austin Kroll is over 100 episodes in as a member of Southern Charm.
All right, I'm 3-0, baby. By the names.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we get to Jacob Stallings. Is Jacob Stallings a member of the Rockies, or is he from a Bravo reality TV show?
A guy with the name of Jacob Stallings. He's on the Colorado Rockies with some sunglasses on right now.
He is a 34-year-old catcher that came over from the Miami Marlins. Correct. Very, very good.
You would
think
I'm looking this up. Man, I'm that good.
No, I had this in my own notes that Phil has not seen. All right. We get
because
to
some of these reality I've never heard of. Maybe if I seen their face.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them.
Yes, I bet. Yes. If you saw some of their faces, you would know. All right, we're playing Rockies or reality. Do they play for the Rockies, or are they on a reality TV show? Kyle Cook.
Oh, Kyle Cook.
Does Kyle Cook play for the Rockies, or is he on a reality television show?
Kyle Cook. Brandon Cooks used to play for me in the NFL.
He played for you, huh?
Yeah,
when,
I was
when did
older.
You get hired as a coach?
I was older. No, he played with me. So I'm going to say Kyle Cooks plays in the MLB for the Colorado Rockies. Pitcher.
Kyle Cook, we're playing Rockies or reality. Does he play for the Rockies, or is he on reality TV show? Kyle Cook, since 2017, has been on Summer House.
Oh.
Bravo. Over 100 episodes for Kyle Cook. That's your first error.
Yes, I thought I was going to be right.
Rockies or reality? Dakota Hudson. Does Dakota Hudson play for the Rockies, or is he on a reality TV show?
Dakota Hudson seems like reality. Like that sounds like a reality TV show. Some guy that shaves his eyebrows or something like that. clean cut.
Is that what clean cut means? You shave your eyebrows?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. We're playing Rockies or reality. Dakota Hudson is a 29-year-old right-handed pitcher for the Rockies.
Oh, no.
We're playing Rockies or reality. Does he play for the Rockies, or is he on a reality TV show? We get to Jax Taylor.
He got two first names.
Yes, he does.
Oh, Jax Taylor. Anybody that has two first names is going to play a sport. He's on the Colorado Rockies.
Jax Taylor is one of the main characters on Vanderpump Rules on Bravo. Jax, he is a bad decision maker.
Oh, man, it's starting to go downhill.
And then finally, Nick Mears. Does Nick Mears play for the Rockies, or is he on a reality TV show?
Nick Mears. I know you like to plan this. And knowing you, Zach. All right, last question of the segment. It's Colorado Rockies home opener. I'm going to have to go with he's a Colorado Rocky.
He is a right-handed pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. Nick Mears. Pretty good. Not bad. All right, it's opening day. We're at El Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. We are going to be here until 6 o'clock. The place has great energy. The place has great food. The place serves drinks. It's a patio. It's a rooftop. It's phenomenal. We're hanging out. If you want to come say hello, we'll be here until 6 o'clock right here at El Patio, Denver. All right, a familiar issue with a title-contending team in Denver reared its ugly head last night. That's coming up next.